Father, we ask that you'd bless this word to our hearts. Father God, I pray that I would not blow this topic. Father, it is so serious. I thought I knew it before I started studying hard about it, and now I feel like I don't even know it at all because it's too wonderful. It's too amazing. So, Father God, we pray in Jesus' name that you give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to the church. We pray it now in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles tonight and turn, if you would, then to the book of Romans. That is our theme verse for this series that we've embarked upon, the book of Romans. It's chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And you know that we've been laying this foundation in this series that is entitled, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? And we've been talking the last several weeks about salvation. Can you lose it? How do you get it? How's it maintained if it is all maintained? How do you know if you're a goat versus a sheep? How do you know if you're for real, if you're false? Are you a real Christian or not? Well, if you missed it, then get the teachings from last week or go online for the last few weeks and listen in. Because we naturally go from that topic in this series of how do we get from here to heaven to this next topic, and that is, what's sanctification? What is sanctification anyway? Now, the amazing thing is, these are real biblical terms, sanctification. A lot of young people today who have not been brought up in either reading their Bibles too much, or maybe they're new to Christ, or they haven't been churched much, they see the word sanctification, and it almost sounds like some sort of a disease. What do you mean, sanctification? What is that word? Well, it is a tremendous word. It is fantastic in the Bible, and we must be a sanctified people. But what does it mean? We'll find out about that tonight. But first, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, because all of this deals with the very act and the reality of sanctification in our lives as Christians. How do we get from here to heaven? Well, we not only have to be saved, that is, believing in Jesus Christ to go to heaven. He's the one that made it possible. But once we make that decision for Jesus Christ, what goes on in our lives after that? After I give my heart to Christ, do I just wait around until I die or until the Lord comes back? No, there is this tremendous work of sanctification in your life. Romans 12, 1. Paul said, I beseech you, brethren. Remember that word, urge. I personally challenge you. I plead with you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, you ought to circle that word. Holy, because that is also the word sanctified. Sanctified, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Makes sense. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is a process, by the way, of sanctification. That you may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Now in this verse, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Very famous verse, 1 Peter 3:15. But in your hearts, sanctify, that is, set apart, Christ as Lord. Always be ready, that is, prepared, because of the fact that you've sanctified Christ in your heart, to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. You and I will never grow as Christians unless we experience sanctification in our lives. And I think tonight you'll get a better understanding of what that means. In the 21st century, church, what we're living in right here, right now, listen up. Nobody in this world right now can impress God with big churches. He doesn't care about big churches. In the 21st century, we have got more money, Christianity. We've got more crowds. Look at the churches, just in America. Look at the churches in Asia. Look at the churches down in the Singapore regions, Philippines, China. All over the place, churches growing, growing, growing every day. Some of them are gigantic churches. I hear about churches that have up to 200,000 members in Korea. What is going on? Look, I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying this. God is not impressed with numbers, nor is he impressed by the numbers of people that are here tonight. That doesn't impress God. In fact, listen, the truth of the matter is, if there's more people going to church than ever before around the world in numbers, and if there seemingly is more money floating around in Christianity, because, I mean, there must be, right? People are building monstrosities of buildings, and they're doing all kinds of these things and that things, and the money it takes to turn on a light bulb these days, and all the stuff that's going on. I mean, it must be happening, right? Well, you know what? It looks like it's happening. I don't know. Well, how can we know? Well, we can ask this question. With all that's going on in your life and my life, in this church, in this state, in this nation, in this world, with more and more people, is the culture any better off for it? Question, are Christian marriages staying together? Answer, no. Are Christians graduating from high school and invading the university campuses for Christ? No. They're leaving high school, they're going onto the campuses, and they're getting eaten alive by atheists and by the cults. What in the world is going on? What is happening? Something's wrong. You know what it is? We have not sanctified the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts. We talk about stuff. We're going to embark upon this thing. And all that's great. Christian works are fantastic. The world's got to have them. But unless we are sanctifying the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts, you guys, we will be just like the church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation, who had a huge, must have been like a bulletin on Sunday mornings, like a phone book, with all the stuff going on. But Jesus said, I have one thing against you. You've left your first love. And I fear for the 21st century church. Everything where we should be glowing beautifully, powerfully, doctrine is waning. People don't want to hear the Bible anymore. They want to be excited with just the whole service, worship and message in and out, 55 minutes, because after all, I got to live my life. Give me my God shot so I can be on my way. This is a very dangerous time. Who are we and what are we as a Christian church and as a people? There's little appetite these days for personal Christian growth. It's time that we grow up. It's time that we step into that place of what the Bible talks about, sanctification. And we're going to learn about it tonight. The book of Hebrews, follow along with me. There'll be some of the verses will be on the screens and some of them will not. So you'll just have to do your best. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 1 says, therefore, let us leave off with the discussions about the elementary principles of Christ and let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of the eternal judgment. The author of the book of Hebrews is saying, all that stuff as believers is foundational. It's basic. Now that we've got that down, let's move on. Let's grow strong in Jesus. All that stuff is behind us because those are the foundational things. So church, are you ready tonight for this? I'm going to give you five things. Five things that are vitally important. How do we get from here to heaven and what's sanctification anyway? Number one, it is this. What is it? What is sanctification? If the Bible says it, what is it? Well, the word sanctification means this, my friends, in the Greek language, both the meaning, by the way, in Hebrew and the Old Testament, Greek and the New Testament, the meaning is exactly the same. It means a purification, a state of purification. It means that it is a holiness, a setting aside, a being apart from, and we'll talk more on that in detail, to be dedicated to. In fact, from that word, we get this word that you all know about, and that's the word saint. Saint, hegios in Greek. The word means this. And listen carefully, it's kind of awesome. The word means sacred. It means holy. It means pure. It means something that has been ceremonially consecrated to God. A saint. This is an amazing thing. People think that saints are somehow voted upon at the Vatican and declared to be saints. Did you know that's nowhere in the Bible? Did you know the Bible says that all those who believe in Jesus Christ and trust Him as Lord and Savior are called saints in the Bible? What's your name here tonight? Saint what? Saint Roy? Saint whatever? I'm Saint Jack. You say, how can you say that? That sounds horrible. Wait a minute. Oh, by the way, let me add this. Hagios, I just said the word hagios, is saint. The only reason why hagios is saint is because, listen, this is not in my notes, so you have to pay attention to this. H-A-G-O-S is something that is a condemned or something that has been damned to hell. H-A-G-O-S. Something that is condemned or damned. Hagios is when you put an I right in between the spelling, H-A-I-G-O-S, it goes from a condemned thing to a sacred holy thing. just because of the great, in my opinion, I'm kind of wiggling this in, but it sounds cool. The great I am, Jesus Christ, steps into a life and takes that which is condemned and makes it saintly. And I don't know how you feel tonight. Do you feel saintly? I'm glad you feel saintly. I don't know what feeling saintly feels like. Honestly, I don't know what it feels like. But I will tell you this, that because God said it, and I know that He's at work in my life, I want to pay attention to His Word. Church, check this out. Now, this is not the most profound translation, but it sure is crystal clear on this one. The New Living Translation in 1 Corinthians 1:30. 1:30. Not 1:30. Chapter 1, verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says, God alone made it possible for you to be in Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made Christ to be wisdom itself. He is the one who made us acceptable to God. Church, who made us acceptable to God? Jesus did. You got to grab this. Jesus made us acceptable to God. He made us pure. He made us sanctified. And He gave Himself to purchase for our freedom. Jesus Christ did that. That's what happens in this thing about sanctification. Now, someone's going to ask the question, and you should ask it. Is sanctification that God declares regarding my life, to better understand it, is it a status? Yes and no. Is it a position? Yes and no. Is it actual? Yes and no. Because we have got to learn tonight, from this moment on, tonight, if we get it, something's going to happen to our lives. Something's going to change. You who are believers tonight in this place, you will either choose to look at the definition and the very theological movement of sanctification from God's perspective or from our perspective. And if you look at it from God's perspective, it's going to rock your world. You are going to get excited. You are going to find out, wow, wait a minute. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All of a sudden, the Bible now becomes crystal clear to me, because what God speaks to me in His Word into my life is the Word of God at work, because God is building you a sanctified new creation. He's not wasting His Word on you. When Jesus says, if you have faith, pray, and this will happen. He's not joking. But why is there a disconnect in your life and my life about those things that He says? Answer, we do not view God's Word and our lives in relation to it from the same perspective that God does. We wind up viewing our lives and God's Word and all of us kind of getting together on the human plane, and it's weak and it's beggarly and it's sad. Somebody might say tonight, well, Pastor, slow down, calm down now. We can become so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. I have never met a person who is so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. In fact, the bummer is, in this age that we live in, the church is so earthly minded that it's no heavenly good. This is amazing, and I want to make this clear. I'm not preaching some kind of self-esteem gospel or some claim it, blab it, and grab it word faith thing. I'm telling you as it is about sanctification. It's as though God rolls up His sleeves and says, all right, this is awesome. My Son saved this guy. My Holy Spirit's going to mold this guy, and I'm going to preside over the whole thing. God's at work. It's awesome. What is sanctification? Sanctification is a transference of something, watch, from one place to the next. Sanctification. We're going to show some pictures. Let's put a couple pictures up. What is that? What's it for? You sure? Kind of quiet about that. Something tells me you know exactly what it's for. You don't paint a house with that thing. You want to know why? It has been created for a specific purpose. I can honestly say that knife and that fork is sanctified for a certain use. It is set apart. It is ordained. It is absolutely engineered, created, and designed for a very specific purpose. We all understand that. You don't paint your house with a knife and fork. It's not sanctified to that task. Next slide. That's nice. I don't know what it is, but it's nice. That cannot get you from here to Catalina Island. But it can get you from here to L.A. Why? It was designed to get you from here to LA. You cannot go to the island on that or with that car. It's not a boat. It was designed by its creators for a very specific task. And if you try to use it for something else, it's going to absolutely sink. It won't work. Next slide. Oh, yes. We all love them. When we're tired, we sit down. We don't pick it up and run around with it. We use it. The engineers that built that chair had a very specific purpose in mind, and they got the materials together, and they assembled that simple thing, which results in comfort and rest and a purpose. If you were to take that chair and try to convert it into a ladder, who would do that and change a light bulb standing on a chair? And you fall from that thing trying to use it as a ladder. Why? Why would you get hurt falling from that thing? Because you are using something against the purpose for which it was made. Are you with me? You are a human being. And tonight, I don't care right now if you're a Christian or not. You can be sitting here tonight thinking, I'm a Martian. I'm from Mars. I don't care. Listen to me. God knows who you are. You were created for a purpose. A very specific purpose. He wants to use you in this life, and you ain't going to be happy until you are living a life that brings glory to God. Go ahead and try. I've already tried it. We've all tried it in this room. Go try it. You're just going to wear yourself out. You're going to go broke, for one thing. And you're going to get all tired. You're going to get all thrashed and all messed up. And then you're going to come right back, and you're going to say, you were right. Of course I was right, because I'm just telling you what the Bible says. God made you to have fellowship with Him. You have been sanctified to be a person in fellowship with God, and you're not going to be content, happy, or complete until you meet Him. Now, having said that, as a Christian, you will not be fulfilled, you will not be dynamic, you will not be complete until you're serving Him in that thing for which you were created. We were being led by worship up here with AJ and the team, and great stuff. I can't do that. They can. They leading, they praising, they worshiping promotes me, excites me to get with them on the way to heaven. The body of Christ, every person has their place. Sanctification is God taking what He has made and setting it to a task. And you'll hear about it tonight. It's not only Him setting you to a task. Listen, it's that He takes you out of one place in life and He places you in another. It's coming out of something, in this case, the world. Maybe you're a Christian tonight and you've already come out of the world, but you're apathetic. You're sleepy. You're lazy spiritually. How do I know, Pastor, if I'm lazy? It's a very, very, very simple way to find out. Are you ready? It hurts. Ushers, lock the doors. If you can come to church and leave church and nobody is dependent upon you for anything, if you can come to church for a month and be gone a month and nobody misses you being gone, then you're not contributing to the family of God. I don't care if it's just being a greeter at the front door or even an unofficial greeter who's just a really nice guy saying, hi, welcome to, hey, how are you doing? Come on in, sit down. Hey, listen, if you're something, what role are you playing? Now that Christ has saved you, what role are you playing to strengthen, build up, and bless the body of Christ? If tonight you're saying, I can't think of anything that anybody in the body of Christ is dependent upon me for, nothing. You need to evaluate what you're doing with God's time that He's given you. The easy things are singing and worship. The easy things are giving financially. The easy things are the obvious things. Those things are given. Which leads us to number two. How do we get from here to heaven? And what is this thing about sanctification? Number two is this. Why is sanctification important anyway? I mean, if I'm supposed to be taken from one place to the next place, you know, what's the deal? You guys, it's a big deal because number one, if we don't go from point A to point B, then all we have is religion, and that's not going to work. Why is sanctification important? Because it gets you and I into a place where we begin to experience God more and more. That's what it does. Exodus 13, jot it down. Amazing. I love this stuff. Exodus 13, 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast, it is mine. God is saying everything that comes out firstborn out of the female belongs to me. That child, that goat, that cow, that donkey's dedicated to me. Why? Does God need donkeys? He doesn't need donkeys. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't even need the firstborn of Israel. What is he asking this for? Because God comes first. Do you understand that? You say tonight, well, I don't know, whatever, who cares, just go to the next point. Then listen, you are missing sanctification in your life completely. God's not that big of a deal. Christians, we got to get hot and right and in tune with what God wants to do. And when we begin to see God for who he is, the grandeur of who he is, the awesomeness, then we have a tendency to worship him. We have a tendency to bow down to him. We have a tendency to say things like this, God, I want to grow more with you. I want to grow deeper with you. I want to see more of you. Do not raise your hand. But in your heart, can you say, I want more of God in my life? Man, if you're saying that, God is at work in you, and he's the one, listen, he's the one that put it in your heart. Last Sunday, a young lady came up to me, she started crying, and she said, I've been backslidden, I've been so far from God, I want to come back to God, but I don't think he wants me. And I said, what are you crying for? And she went, what? I said, what are you crying for? Because I want to come back to God. I've been wayward. And I said, listen, you are back, girl. Welcome. Welcome back. I did. I said, welcome back. Look at you. Look at you. You're crying. You're saying, I want to come back, but I don't think he wants me back. Listen, you can't want to come back without him pulling you in, without him wanting you back. He's always wanted you back. Tonight, if you're saying, I want more of God, guess where that came from? He's stirring your heart up. Sanctification's important. Sanctification is God's idea for his people. To take us from one place tonight to the next God stop in our walks with Jesus. All of our lives, each and every one of us, we're going from one stop to the next stop. God stop along the way. You know what? Think about it. Aren't you? This kind of terrifies me sometimes, and then I have to calm down and trust God, because it's this. If Jesus doesn't come back for us, where are you and I going to be this time next year? Man, I hope that we're stronger in Jesus this time next year. I don't want to backslide. I don't want to start ditching church and giving up on Bible and stop being with you. I don't want to slide back as we approach the end of the world, the way things are going in this crazy world. Man, if we could see the real, true reality of what time it is on God's clock, I think churches would be filled around the world, people looking for hope, if they only knew. Sanctification is important. Listen to this. Exodus 33:19. Then he said, God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. That's Moses. And I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will be have compassion on whom I will have compassion. And but he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see my face and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, speaking to Moses, and you shall stand on the rock. Looking, my friend, and living from the vantage point of God's view on who we are as believers. God takes Moses and puts him, as we talked about a few weeks ago, God picks him up and sets him on a rock in the crack of a rock. And God says, all right, Moses, I'm going to pass by and you'll see my glory. That whole thing came about because Moses had the guts. What's the word? Chutzpah. To say, I want to see you, God. Isn't that awesome? Doesn't it sound like a little kid? He's just like a little kid. I want to see you, God. I wonder what, that had to just warm the heart of God. Moses, you cute little guy, you. I just wonder what was going on. Angels, come on, God, let him see a little bit of you. Stand on the rock, Moses, and you'll see me. Church, whenever we decide to stand on the rock and have the perspective from God's view, we're going to see things different. And you need to see your life different. Your life is absolutely, says the Bible, hidden in Christ. That's a great thing. All the stuff that you're scared about, all the stuff that you're embarrassed about, all the stuff that torments you, all the stuff that's deep, dark, hidden down inside that you pray nobody ever discovers. God says, hey, come here. I'm going to take you and I'm going to hide you in my Son. You're safe. Isn't that an awesome thing? The daily, everyday living lives that you and I go through, our very ears and our eyes and our hands and our feet, God wants those things sanctified to the next move that He wants to do in our lives. And it is an amazing thing if we'll just let Him do it. God wants us to have more of Him and to see more of Him. Thirdly, it's this. How do we get from here to heaven? And what is sanctification anyway? It's this. It's about change. What does sanctification look like? It's this. It's change. It's change. I've often said before that if there's any evolution in this world, it is only truly through or in the life of a Christian. A Christian, the Bible says, goes from glory to glory. God is really working in his or her life, really changing them, really making them different, making them more like Jesus. And isn't this a struggle? Let's be honest. We pray, Lord, make me more like Jesus. And then the struggles come. Again, last week after service, had this young lady come up to me. She's been coming for a few weeks. And she said, I've been listening. When I first came, this kind of freaked me out. Yeah, I've been listening. Something's been happening to me. And I have to come. I just have to come. But since I've been coming, it's almost like my whole life's fallen apart. Everything's going crazy. Do you know what I'm talking about? Man, you want to stand for Jesus? You say, Jack, don't say that. I just brought somebody tonight that I hope. Hey, let me be the first to tell you. Any dead fish can float down the river. It takes a live fish to swim up the thing. And when you become a Christian, you start swimming up the river. All these dead, stinky stuff's floating by, and you're going up the river. It's hard. But you know what? Sure is worth it. It sure is good. Change begins to happen. Change, it begins very humbly, very normal-like. Change. You think about change. Moses was walking around Mount Sinai looking at stuff. The Bible tells us in Exodus 3:3, then Moses said, and now turn aside and see this great sight. He says to himself, it's great. Moses, he writes the book and he's talking to himself, it's great. I will now turn aside and see this great thing for which I see why the bush does not burn. And so when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called out to Moses from the midst of the burning bush and says, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And then the Lord said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Isn't that weird? Holy ground. What made the ground holy? God's presence, certainly, but listen. Wherever God is, it's holy, right? He's holy. Wherever he goes, it's holy. But listen, God didn't have his sandals off. Moses was commanded to take his sandals off. It's easy, but it's correct for you and I to say it was holy because God was there. That's only 50% of the answer. God was there. Yes, it was holy. But the reason why God said, take off the sandals that are on your feet is because Moses, it's time for you to meet me. And therein is the action, the definition, the reality of sanctification. Moses, take your sandals off. Get your shoes off. The ground where you stand is holy. Moses could have said, why is that the case? God would have said, because you and I are meeting right now. That's what sanctifies this ground. Because the other is obvious. Wherever God goes, it's holy. How can it be holy where there's a man standing there? Wherever you and I go, we don't make the ground holy. I know some people think, well, we're, you know, Pastor Jack, here I am. Hey, we don't affect the ground. But when God says, I want to meet you, things change. Well, you already know this. You know what? Have you ever been to, like, for example, a retreat, men's retreat, women's retreat? Have you ever just maybe been some? Have you ever been driving? I don't know what it is. For me, it's not usually those kinds of events. For me, it's just the most normal moments. I think I've had more revelations when God speaks to my heart when I'm mowing the lawn than anything else in my life. I don't know what's with that. Maybe Adam gardened, so I'm gardening. What is it for you? Is it seeing a sunset? Is it hearing something? Something clicks, and it's a divine moment, and it's almost like it's a millisecond long, but it's like, God, you're great. Wow. And it's like, I want more of what's happening, but I can't take any more of it at the same time. And then it's gone, and you're like, yes. God, you're amazing. What's going on? A holy moment. A sanctified moment. That ground became holy. God said, listen, it's holy ground. The moment God said it's holy ground, it was holy ground. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
God said, Moses, take off your shoes. How come, God? It's holy ground. Moses could have said, you know what? The ground right here looks just like the ground that's over here. Looks the same, tastes the same, smells the same, same ground. Why is it different? God said, it's holy now. Do you believe that? No, you don't. You guys, if we believed that, we would be crazy for God. Because didn't God say to you, your sins have been washed away from you. You've been made as white as snow. And we go, sure, God. Don't we? What's wrong with us? It's almost like we have got to beat ourselves down. God says to us, in fact, to Gideon, he said, stand up, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon's down on the threshing floor. You know what I'm talking about? It's us. We say we believe what God says. God says it, and then we don't act on it. It's unbelievable. We're all guilty. God said it was holy. That sanctified the ground that Moses was standing on and made it holy. Sanctified, precious ground. Watch this. You were wondering what this was about. See this? This is a picture. Okay? This is dirt from here. From around here somewhere. Okay? Smells good. Dirt smells good. If I were to say, this is a pitcher. It's made out of whatever. It's not plastic. Porcelain something. I declare that I like this thing. This is a pitcher that I have declared is to be my pitcher. I set it down. I take this dirty dirt in a coffee can. I don't care about the coffee can. But this is sanctified because I have declared it to be sanctified. You say, well, what right do you have? It's mine. I'm not asking for your permission. I'm telling you the way it is. This is mine. It came from my house. Actually, it's Lisa's. It came from Lisa's house. Okay? Are you with me? Okay, all of a sudden, I take this, and now I put inside here, you see this? I put this in here, and now what was absolute, normal, scooped up, out of nowhere, who cares, dirt, it is now inside a sanctified container. A Christian, you guys, that's what we are. Are we not? Are we not? Huh? And God says, you're now in Christ. Okay? We're now in Christ. And what makes you and I so incredibly valuable is the fact that God calls the rules. He says, when you play Monopoly with me, these are the rules. Not your rules. We're playing God's rules on Monopoly. And here it is. This is my pitcher. Okay? And I put you inside here because this pitcher is sanctified. Everything that goes inside of it, God declares sanctified. And what's so funny, you and I, because of unbelief, we will argue with God until we're blue in the face. I don't feel sanctified. God says, I don't really care how you feel. Well, I want to explain that to me. You're in Christ. Here it is. Well, how can that be? I didn't ask you to understand it. I just asked you to believe it. Well, I need to see a schematic. I need to see a drawing on that. Do you see what we do instead of just believing Him? And we battle with God. Change. The moment I poured this dirt from the coffee can into this beautiful thing, it was changed. It's still dirt, but now it's sanctified ground. Take your shoes off, because the place where you stand is holy ground. That ground is the same molecular, the same smell, the same color that it was inside the coffee can. But now it's in here. And what took place was the fact that it entered into a state of sanctification. Christian, do you understand, as far as the east is from the west, your sins have been removed from you? How did that happen? You're in here now. And we keep reminding ourselves. We keep going like this. Look, there I am. There I am. No, get back inside. Get back inside. Get back inside. You need to see yourself in Christ every moment of the day, all the time. And we're going to talk about how that happens. We're talking about absolute change. It's real change. That's it. You're in Christ. Change. It's change you can believe in. If anybody can say, yes, we can, it's the Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. You want to talk about change? I'll tell you what. This is change you can believe in, because I've watched it happen. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? A normal person would say, well, man, I don't want to be unrighteous then. Keep reading. Do not be deceived. Well, a normal person would say, I don't want to be deceived. No fornicators. Yikes. That's having sex outside of marriage. Nor idolaters, worshiping things. Adulterers, sex where marriage is involved with somebody else. Nor homosexuals, that's pretty self-explanatory. Sodomites, not going to talk about it. Verse 10, thieves, covetous, drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortionists will inherit the kingdom of God. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Keep reading, that's what we're going to do. Verse 11, and such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were what? Sanctified. Put inside here. Isn't that amazing? Pastor Jack, I committed adultery. What do I do? You come to Jesus Christ, ask Him to forgive your sins, and get inside the pitcher. Jesus. Quick. And He removes the judgment from you. Wow. He goes on to say, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. Hebrews 2:11 says, for both, listen, he who sanctifies, that's the Lord, and those who are being sanctified, that's the continuous present tense, by the way. This is cool. We're not only sanctified, past tense, we're being sanctified among each other in this world. You guys, this is amazing. If you're a Christian tonight, you're being sanctified. It's amazing. How I am right now. Every moment of every day, the Holy Spirit's at work sanctifying you. Think of yourself like a shop, and it says like a wood shop over your head, and God is planing you and sanding you and filing you, and you need to think like that. God, work on me today. It's amazing. He's sanctifying us. He's the one that does it. We are the ones being sanctified. They're all one, He says, for which reason He is not ashamed to call us brethren. Isn't that amazing? The Lord calls us brethren. Why does He do that? How can He do that? Because God says, I'm at work. You drive down the 60 freeway right now and they're tearing it up, or they're doing something to it. Your tax dollar is at work, it says, anyway. And they're changing something. God sets up a sign and says, hey, I'm at work here in your life. You say, well, Pastor, I want to believe that. Well, then believe it, because that's what the Bible says. Have you ever noticed that when you wear something, it affects you? I'm going to ask you again. Act like you heard me. Have you ever noticed that when you wear something, it affects you? Yes. For my daughter's wedding last week, by the way, thank you for coming. You honored Lisa and I by coming. I had a tuxedo thing on. And it makes you feel different. First of all, you go there and you get fitted for it. And it's like, okay. But you know what? I didn't feel like mowing the lawn, though I love to mow the lawn. I didn't feel like it when you put it on. I didn't feel like bending over either. You feel different. I am clothed with a tuxedo. I act differently wearing a tuxedo. The next day, I had my board shorts on with my flip-flops. The way that I acted wearing my board shorts and my flip-flops is different than wearing the tuxedo. It affects the way that your demeanor or your conduct is. It doesn't change your personality. It changes what you do. And if you are clothed, the Bible says, we are to be clothed with Christ. It will change how we live. I'm not saying that board shorts are always right. I'm not saying that the tuxedo is always right. Here's the awesome thing. When you are dressed or covered in Christ, you're always ready for the moment that God brings into your life. Always ready. Is it danger? Is it counseling? Is it leisure? Is it family? Is it business? You're ready because you've been sanctified. Your life is dedicated to God and you're hungry for change and God will do it. It's absolutely awesome and amazing. And I love what he does. Jude 1 says, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to those who are called. Now, notice the past tense. Called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Bible says about you. We need to act like it. You guys, I don't know. I don't know what God's going to do. You know, everyone who's watching and the news analysis and all this stuff, oh man, we're on the brink. Iran wants to launch a nuclear weapon. North Korea wants to launch a nuclear weapon and blow up Hawaii or Seattle or Alaska. All this talk about nuclear attack, all the stuff that's going on. And you know, you hope that doesn't happen. But I always wonder, what's it going to take to wake Christians up? You say, what do you mean, man? Oh, I don't know. Unemployment's through the roof and nobody comes to prayer meetings. Why? Because it ain't bad enough yet. What if the welfare system dried up? Wait. It is dried up. What if there's no more food coming in? What if, as I heard last Monday night, I was at a gathering up in LA area, and one of the speakers announced that the national food reserves for the United States is at the lowest it's ever been in American history. That we have one growing season of food in reserve for the United States of America. One growing season for the first time in American history that if God doesn't bring rain or if he brings too much rain and washes it away, over. First time in American history. We are on the precipice of starvation as a nation. You, that's impossible. I just came from Vons. There's tons of food there. One season and it's over. You say, what are you scaring us this for? I'm not scaring you. I'm just saying, does it have to get bad for us to seek God? Or can't we just seek him because he's so good? He's so wonderful. You say, that's what I want to do, Jack. I want to seek him like that. Then you know what? You are in the process of sanctification at work in your life. You've got to know more of him. You will not satisfy for some watered-down, weak, lazy life as a Christian. You won't go for it. Then God's working in your life. And if tonight you cannot say that and it pricks your heart and you're saying, well, I want to be like that, then you need to obey him by falling down at his face and saying, God, I want you to take me and do whatever you want to do with me. Church, we must do this. We must yield to him fully that way. Hebrews 10:14 says, for by one offering, by the way, that word in the Greek means Jesus died once and for all, never to suffer again. By one offering, he has perfected, past tense, forever, those who are being sanctified. Oh, get this, get this, get this. Are you guys awake? Watch this. Because Jesus did it once on the cross. I said, you said, Lord, come into my life, forgive me of my sins. I want to follow you. I want to be a Christian. The Holy Spirit moved inside of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says so. The moment that happened, because of what Jesus did, the Spirit of God says, all right, let's go to work. By the way, that work that he's doing in you right now is the meaning to, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. So now he's at work in your life. And here's the awesome thing. He is at work in your life from the position of you having been sanctified. God says, you're done. Imagine, God looks at you and I right now, theologically, accurately, as though the Holy Spirit were done. That he was all done. The Holy Spirit says, God, here you go. Father, here it is. Jack. Well, I started out as a dirt clod. But see, he puts me in Christ, and then the Spirit says, Christ formed in him the hope of glory. Isn't it awesome to realize that every one of us tonight who are Christians, we are going to go to sleep tonight and wake up tomorrow. Frankly, if you realize it or not, you are coming from the place of already being sanctified by God's declaration, because he says, you are holy, therefore be holy in this world. And we go, oh my goodness, how can I do that? I can't, oh, okay, I'll be holy. Right? Huh? Is that what it means? Oh, just don't talk to me. I might sin. Don't say anything. What are you doing? I'm being holy. Don't bug me. Are you crazy? Because the Holy Spirit is in you, you have been declared holy. So because that's true, now you walk in life from the place of victory in Jesus. You go forward already being a conqueror in Christ because your sins have been washed away. The Holy Spirit is in your life. You can now say to things that come up and they pop up, temptation, whatever it might be, and you say, I am not going to yield to that. I don't have to yield to that. I'm a new creation in Christ. The Spirit of God is at work in my life and God's declared me sanctified. I'm gonna believe him. I'm gonna walk right past that plate of cookies. And you just go right around it. Or whatever it might be. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 says, obey God because you are his children. How many of you have kids? Raise your hand. You want your kids to obey you. Isn't that funny? It's automatic. God says, Bible says, obey God because you're his children. Don't slip back into your old ways of doing evil. You didn't know any better back then. But now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God, who chose you to be his children. He is holy. For he himself has said, you must be holy because I am holy. You come from that position of being in him. Point number four, how do we get from here to heaven? And what about sanctification? Where does sanctification come from? It comes from God, quite literally. Sanctification comes from the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Listen to this. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all who in every place, Chino Hills, call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. I don't know about you, but that should turn you into a Pentecostal right there. Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, God said to Jeremiah. Before you were born, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet to the nations. Isn't that awesome? That word again in Hebrew, sanctified, means appointed, consecrated, dedicated, made holy. Man, you know how on Sundays we hold up little babies? You know what the parent, the whole thing, the whole process is they want their kids dedicated unto the Lord, sanctified unto God. That's what it's all about. Galatians 1:15, Paul said this, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the nations or the Gentiles. If you're alive right now, God has absolutely set you apart. You'll either believe that tonight or you're not. And if you believe it tonight, you're going to get all galvanized. You're going to get all pumped up. You're going to say, God, if that's true, man, and I believe it is, what do you want to do in my life? That's the process of sanctification. And he begins to work. 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Hey, hello. In earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Isn't that amazing? It's awesome. Number five, how do we get from here to heaven? How do we live? And this is our final stop. How do we live a sanctified life? Well, we need to wake up, for one thing, to the reality of what God has said and what God has done. I think we have a slide on the screen. And watch this. Is that the slide? Okay, look at this. Look at this. Look. Watch this. Everybody looking? Yeah, look at that. Watch this. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Pause right there. Iniquity is sin. Sin, iniquity. That statement goes to all of us tonight. Okay, think about your own life right now. Just pause for a second. Think about you. What on earth could that possibly be in my life? That's for me to find out. Sometimes, you know, when we open up the Bible, in this great work of sanctification, in a practical sense, we need to slow down and stop and say, Lord, show me where I need to depart from iniquity. Is it a chat room that God is speaking to you? You're talking to somebody who's not your husband in terms that you wish. Boy, I wish I could talk to my husband like this. Oh my, that is a sin. You're flirting with disaster. Depart from it. Unplug the computer or throw it out the window. Just get away from it. Is it that girl at the office? She's the one, but Jack, you don't know, she builds me up. She tells me that I'm, you know, a nice guy. I don't get that at home. Dude, tough. Get away from bubbles at the water fountain and get home. Now. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Some are hold your jewelry and other things hold trash under your sink, right? Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, next slide, he will be a vessel for honor. Do you hear the choice? Choose. He's saying choose. What do you want to do? You want to live for the fun of this world for a moment? The Bible says sin is pleasurable for a season. But then the fruit of it is disaster. He says sanctified and useful for the master's use. Don't you want to live that kind of life? I pray for you every day. Your life and mine. Oh God, that we might be sanctified and useful for your kingdom. You guys, if each and every one of us just on this midweek service were to say, God, in what way would you use me this week in the community or the world that I traffic in? Just show me one thing and I will do it. Do you know that's how we're supposed to live? We're not even asking because we're afraid he might say, do this. And by the way, that is the definition of taking your life and burying it in the ground, waiting till he returns and having squandered your life. Don't do that, please. Don't do that to yourself. Prepared for every good work. Watch. Flee also youthful lust. Those never go away, by the way. You have to keep running from them. I already know this. I talked to a man before, 96 years old. He was having lustful dreams. I said, are you kidding me? There's no hope. Flee youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart, fellow brothers and sisters. Next slide. Break it down. Depart from iniquity means leave your sinful acts. That's what it means. We don't have to debate it. We don't have to talk about it. What does it mean to depart from iniquity? The definition is leave your sinful acts. Abandon them now. You and I will choose in this call to being sanctified. We will either choose to obey God or not. Number two, cleanse himself. Cleanses himself. Leave your unholy habits. Unholy habits. Things that tear down the temple of the living God, who you are. God will speak to you about what that is. Number three, flees youthful lusts, leave your self-centered desires, get away from them. Four, this is the positive, pursue righteousness, run towards the Lord. Isn't it funny? The human nature left alone runs away from God, gets in all that trouble. The Bible says, run away from all that other stuff and run to God. Well, we're pressed for time. I want to leave you with this fifth and final thing that to me is most important for me. It just really causes me to rejoice, and it's this. How do I do this? Okay, I hear tonight obedience is involved. Yes, just doing what God said to do. Do it. But I'm weak. Me too. Ask the Holy Spirit to be our power to do it. So we pray like this. God, in my life, work it out. God, I'm willing. Do you remember what Jesus said? Surely the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He said that to a bunch of sleeping buffoons. Do you remember? Jesus said, pray, pray. And Jesus goes over in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying in his great passion. And he comes back, and all the guys are sleeping. But isn't it tender? Jesus said, you know what? Their hearts are with me. It's their bodies are wasted bums. But their hearts are with me, man. Isn't he tender? You know how often we fail in the day? Lord, and he just says, Jack, your heart's in the right spot. Just train your body to follow me. Come on, you can get up, go again. So watch this. In every event that was going on with the disciples, because this is us too, every event that goes on with the life of the disciples on the Sea of Galilee, on the Mount of Transfiguration, you know what was happening? Sanctification. If you get a promotion or if you get fired, sanctification. God's talking, leading, molding, shaping, doing something in their lives. You get sick? Sanctification. Are you healthy? Sanctification. Are you lonely? Sanctification's at work. You have too many people around you and you're not lonely? Sanctification. God's at work. You guys, constantly. The shop never closes. He's molding and shaping. Check this out. God says in the Old Testament, and I have it in my notes here someplace. It's right here. Exodus 25:8. God spoke to Moses and the people. He says, make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in it. Now, let's be honest. Don't we know that the Bible even says, can you build me a place where I can live? God says, I don't need a house. And if I needed a house, would I ask you to build it? Isn't it? He's amazing. So he says, build me a sanctuary. So he builds a sanctuary. What do you think was going on? I wonder if people were building the sanctuary thing. What are we doing? I can't see anything from me. I don't get it. Why are we out here in this hot area and we're building this sanctuary? God's going to live in this thing. Well, that's kind of weird. Doesn't make any sense to me. Little did they know that they were building an earthly sanctuary that was just simply a picture, a model, a type of what God really wanted to do. And when that sanctuary is all done, God says, by the way, sanctuary comes from sanctified place. Are you not in a sanctuary right now? You want to know really, truly, as the temple of the Old Testament, what made it a sanctuary? Not so much that you and I are here, which is cool. That's 50% of it. 50% of it is God says, I'll meet you here. Calvary, take your sandals off, for the place that you sit is holy ground. You say, Jack, are you silly? It's just carpet. It was just carpet until God said that is holy ground. You see? Oh, look, we just bought a new house. Hey, if it's God's house, it's a holy house. Hey, just got a new car. Hey, if that's God's car, it's a holy car. Just bought a new cow. If it's God's cow, it's holy cow. Whatever you give to him in that instant, because you meet him in the sanctuary of whatever, wherever you are. That's the glorious thing to my heart, because doesn't the Bible say that in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit moves inside of us and God declares us temples of the living God? Now, all of a sudden, I need to take off my shoes and wear, my flip-flops and stuff, because at any second, right? At all times, perhaps, probably so it is, that God who lives in me, I'm the temple of the living God. He's at work in my life. The amazing thing is, he said, I want to live inside of you. He met me, and where he meets me is a sanctuary. That's where we're in here tonight. It's called a sanctuary. When you go to your little kid's bed tonight and you bow down next to your little kid's bed and you tuck him into bed, that's a sanctuary. Because you've just dedicated that little guy in that room. Everything you do, everything we do. Church, if we begin to think, live, breathe, and act that the very shoes you're wearing are sanctified to God, that if we begin to see ourselves that when we go to work tomorrow and walk into that office, we are bringing into that office the very, very presence of the living God on earth who dwells within us. And if anyone's going to be loved, it better come from us. If anybody is going to be cared for, it better come from us, because we are priests and a priesthood built together with living stones, holy and acceptable to God. Father, we thank you for this truth. Lord God, we pray in the name of Jesus tonight, Lord, that we would just sober up. We're drunk with fun, or we're drunk with things. We're drunk with distractions. We can even get drunk with ministry and forget you. Oh, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray tonight that we as believers, that there would be some sort of a radical shift tonight in our lives. Something would happen, that there would be an earthquake in our soul. And Lord, the very ground that we stand on in the Spirit would shift. And the Lord would say, welcome to holy ground. Take off your shoes. For the place where thou standest is holy ground. And Heavenly Father, may we be very, very careful that after this song, after praise and worship of you, when we leave this place, I'm asking you, Father God, I'm pleading with you that this message would kick in. And Lord, that you would lead us in a deeper walk. Get us out of bed tomorrow at some ridiculous hour where you're waiting for us. Pull us. Touch us. And I know you're speaking to my heart right now, and I know that you would repeat that to your people here right now. You're saying this: I have done everything for you. Now follow me. I have done everything for you. Now obey me. It's not that you are lacking in our lives, Lord. It's that we have withheld are yielding. And we surrender tonight. We surrender in worship. We repent of our independence. We cast ourselves down. And Father, rush in with your liberating truth and your freedom. Church, let's worship him now. Dedicate your heart in this song to him.